Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, now proudly in association with Scrum. Get yourself on to scrummagazine.co.uk for all the latest Scottish rugby news. They also run a quarterly print magazine. Get yourself on to scrummagazine.co.uk and subscribe. You can also follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Now, on to the pod. Is Hugh Jones moving to Leicester? Should Khaleesi have been red carded? And which Glasgow Warriors players just won the Grand Slam of Darts? Here we go. All right, and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. And Alan is hosting us again in his flat, and wee cat Alan Jacobson's just left us a wee present as well.
Welcome to the Casa de Little.
That is awful. thank you very much for joining us, guys. Big weekend of Scottish rugby to talk about. Scotland obviously going down to South Africa, so we're going to be getting right into that. You're listening to us on Acast and iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. It has been a massive week of clickbait on our Twitter account, and that is at Thistle Rugby Pod, and the memes over on Instagram, that is Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And it's been a quiet week for the mailbag, but you can email us and we love to hear from you, and that is thistlerugby@gmail.com. So let's have a look at the agenda. We've got some news, and then we're going to look back obviously at the Scotland versus South Africa game. Alan, I have it written down here that you have a quiz. Any preview you can give us of that?
El Capitans.
Speaking Spanish.
I don't know.
You're a fun mid. And then after that beautiful quiz, we're going to go on to Scotland, preview Scotland versus Argentina. And then the return of the Pro 14. We'll have a quick chat about that as well. Sound good, lads?
Perfect.
Can't wait.
Let's get cracked into it. Starting with, straight off the back of a great performance for Scotland, Hugh Jones. Lots of rumours flying around about his future. SRU supposedly have tabled an offer of about £235,000 a year to keep him, but it seems that he may well be off to Leicester Tigers. What do you guys make of that?
Well, yeah, we've heard he's agreed, but hasn't signed with Leicester Tigers.
No, he's been offered a contract with Leicester
offered
Tigers.
Offered a contract.
Whether he's agreed or not, I don't know, but we're pretty confident he has definitely been offered an agreement, a contract with Leicester. So we'll see how that goes.
Do you think he's just come back to them today and he's like, did you see Saturday?
No, I think his agent. Agent has.
Yeah, surely.
His agent has probably had that.
Agent's licking his lips.
The Cardiff game and he's like, can't push this now.
Yeah.
He was waiting.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Hugh Jones has an amazing game on Saturday. Sunday morning, everyone's talking about Hugh Jones' massive offer down at Leicester.
Yeah, fair. It's a bit of a strange one, though. I mean, I think there had been some rumours that he might go down south, but Leicester hadn't really been mentioned. And obviously, they are a big club still, despite recent struggles. But I kind of think it's like, not that great a move for either of them. Leicester need forwards and they keep signing backs and it's not been working for a number of years now.
I guess the thing is, it looks like Manu Tuilagi's out of contract at the end of the year, so they're probably seeing Hugh Jones as a cheaper, more reliable outside centre option.
Yes, but at the same time, he's still going to be away for a big chunk of the year playing for Scotland. But then I suppose he's not under the SRU, so they can play him whenever they want, effectively.
It does just seem a bit weird. If Hugh Jones is going to leave Glasgow, you'd want to see him at an Exeter, Saracens, or maybe even Gloucester.
Yeah,
you
or
want to
Wasps or something.
Challenging for the Premiership. Yeah. I just don't think Tigers, for the next 2 years anyway, are going to be in that sort of top tier of rugby.
No, I don't think so either. So, I mean, you never know. That, as I say, they are still a big club, so a few decent signings in the forwards in particular.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe something could change, but yeah, it's a bit of a funny one.
I do think doesn't his girlfriend live down in England as well?
Is that right?
So
that's some good Instagram creeping there.
That is some real Instagram.
I didn't know she had the location on her photos. I'm going to have to have a look at that.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, that is too much. But this all comes amongst a sort of a spate of conversation about Edinburgh and Glasgow signings. About 50 players across the sort of SRU contract book up at the end of this year. What did you guys make of that? I mean, is this just sort of the natural way of things, or is this the sort of really bad management from the SRU? What do you think?
I think it's a bit of a mix. Like, I think because it seems if the SRU and probably a lot of rugby teams like to have their players signing 2-year contracts extensions. So yeah. there's going to be a lot of churn. And because it's a World Cup year as well, there's going to be people who are, I don't know, assessing their options.
Yeah.
But to have that many, like close to 50, seems a bit careless.
Yeah.
I think we have to assume that some of them have already re-signed.
Yeah. I think from a few conversations that we've had, we understand that a few have re-signed, certainly at Glasgow.
Yeah.
And then you would have thought Edinburgh are pretty much the same. I mean, if you get people on 2-year contracts, every year some people are going to be entering contract negotiations.
Half your team is going to be in contract negotiations.
I mean, that kind of is the sort of the way it is. And I suppose if you've only got one employer, two rugby clubs, that's just going to be a pretty constant state.
There's a couple of key positions we're looking at Glasgow, where literally every prop, I think bar one, is out of contract. So they got Kebble, Batty, Ray, Ferguson, the Nuke, Allen, all technically, unless they've re-signed, they haven't announced it yet, are out of contract at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that feels like...
Get rid of the Nuke, keep the rest of them?
I mean, yeah, that's exactly where you want to go.
I can't see, maybe with the exception of Ollie Kebble, I'm not sure any of them are going
to
leave.
Well, Ollie Kebble's got to stay if he wants to play for Scotland.
Well, exactly. So I can't see...
Unless he goes to Edinburgh.
Unless he goes
to Edinburgh. Edinburgh got so many props, though, that it's like, well, okay. It's just the natural order of things.
Alex Allen, Darcy Ray, they're not leaving.
All the props should just get together and be like, alone we're nothing, but together.
What, another union? Another Stop wanting unions.
A union within the union.
A union is not an answer to everything, Alan.
look, it's going to end up being fine. I think they've probably got a plan in place for what they're wanting to do.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I'm sure these conversations are happening. I'm also sure that Mark Palmer, who wrote this story at the weekend, also wrote this story last year.
Yeah.
I reckon he's got it earmarked as like a yearly thing. He's like, right, trying to give the SRU a bit of a kicking over contracts.
Like, Sunday Times, do you want 500 words? Because I've got it ready.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to change some names and some dates. So we will keep an eye on that. I'm sure we'll hear from the clubs soon enough when they start signing some players. Matt, the Tennent's Premiership was back. Do you want to give us a rundown of how that went at the weekend?
I do. So it was Friday Night Lights to kick things off, and Watsonians got a really good win over Heriots in that match at Myreside.
Absolutely on a roll, the Sonians, aren't
they? Doing really, really well. Unfortunately, hate to see it. Then Melrose continued their good form, putting Hawks to the sword 49-7 at Balgray. Curry beat Ayr in what seemed like a pretty emotional match following the death of Curry stalwart Campbell Reynolds. It looked like it meant a lot to the club. Stirling County beat Accies, who are still looking for their first win. And Boroughmuir beat Hoyk 26-12. I think the best matchup in that was Daryl Martha was playing for Boroughmuir against, I think his name's Gary Douglas for Hoyk, who's a 37-year-old director of rugby who had to come out of retirement and was up against Daryl Marfo.
And do you want to know the best thing about that? Was exactly a year to this weekend, Daryl Marfo was starting against New Zealand.
I mean, someone's got to get the rights to this guy's like life as a film. It's unbelievable.
He's going to come back and he's going to start in the World Cup final for Scotland.
What is going on?
I have no idea. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
How can you go from that level of performance to this level of performance?
I just don't know.
It is truly unbelievable.
Is he called Cock as a prick to his face or something? Is he done? I don't get it.
And then, was it Scott Lawson playing number 8 for Melrose?
He's played a few games this season for them in the back row and at hooker. Because they had a hooker crisis at some point. And sort of brought him out of retirement.
Is he the answer for Scotland at number 8?
He was actually looking a bit leaner than he used to.
Is he?
I was quite surprised. Maybe it was just the people he was up against.
Yeah, exactly. They made him look like athletes. Players.
Yeah. One other last piece of news.
Yeah, go on then.
Gerwyn Price, Glasgow Warriors legend and hero, won the Grand Slam of darts yesterday or 2 days ago against
Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson.
So who was he? No one has heard of him.
He came on loan from Cross Keys for a month between February 2013 and March 2013 and started one game against Zebra and came off the bench against Newport Dragons. 100% record.
Love that.
Done.
Amazing.
He's still an absolute unit.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon he could still do a job.
He's the fittest darts player ever. Like, the rest of them are a joke.
Mate, don't get many people who are professional in two sports.
Yep, that's true.
That's going to be a great pub quiz question.
That is a great
Gerwyn Price. Okay.
If anything, too difficult.
Any
other news? I think that's everything.
Nope.
Well, let's move on to the big talking point of the week. Scotland versus South Africa, Saturday night at sold out BT Murrayfield. 20 points to 26 tries for Scotland from Pete Horn with an absolute worldie, and Hamish Watson, Laidlaw adding all of the extras. I was there. It was really good. The lights out bit was a bit funny, though.
Why?
Well, they had, so it's lights out, and then there's like a light show and things like that. And then, so they have the Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Loch Lomond. And that was, this is good. This is getting everyone pumped for it. And then they finished, but instead of doing a second song, they just put like Ed Sheeran on the iPod. And they're just like, here is Ed Sheeran.
What's wrong with that?
It was just a bit strange.
Castle on the Hill, Castle on the Hill.
I actually hadn't thought of that.
I thought it was Castle in the Sky.
No, that's an Eric Prydz song.
All right.
The Ed Sheeran song, Castle on the Hill. And then the teams came out to Castles on the Hill.
That's quite strange.
Then there was the national anthems. And then they played Loch Lomond again for the countdown to the kickoff.
There you go.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was cool. Like, it's really cool. You guys were at the New Zealand game last year, weren't you, when they did it first time?
Yeah. No, it was really good.
I actually missed it because I was waiting at a card machine. So.
Card machine.
So that's essentially my thoughts on the South Africa game.
That's the whole thing. That sounds quite good. Yeah. That sounds
you guys
quite
got anything else to add?
Not all bars have card machines at Murrayfield.
Not all bars have card machines.
The budget only went to half the bars.
Yeah. I actually stood in one of those lines and then I was like, I don't see one. I do not see one here.
Just big paper signs saying only cash.
There wasn't, though.
Oh, really?
There wasn't.
There you go.
So that was really frustrating to see.
But on the game, great first half, absolutely hanging second half.
Yes, I would say so. What were your top lines? And then we'll get into a few of the bigger talking points.
Top lines, I think that it, in one way, it's quite heartening that I don't think anyone thinks Scotland played particularly well, but they finished within 6 points against South Africa and probably could have won it.
Absolutely.
Although partly, I actually thought South Africa were pretty budget for a lot of the game.
Yeah, I'd go the other way and say that's a big missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you've sort of, South Africa team that haven't probably picked their best team, like still a strong team, but not playing that well, still finding their feet, I think. They don't quite know what kind of rugby they want to play. And Scotland had chances.
Frontline players missing Etzebeth and Faf de Klerk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a very strong South Africa team, though.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Mike Blair, Scotland assistant coach, was up in front of the press yesterday, I think, after the game. And our partners, Scrum Magazine, were down there, and here's what Mike had to say.
We've obviously had times in the past where we've been well beaten by South Africa. Probably historically that's been the case. And so it's actually quite rewarding in a way that I don't think we played to the best of our ability. but we're in the game right until the end. So that's a positive. Obviously, there's still frustration at a few missed opportunities that ultimately would have given us a win. But yeah, we didn't play our best, and South Africa, a quality team, and we were in the fight until the end.
So there you go. One sort of big talking point, I think, and it's one that Tom English at the BBC raised pretty well. I think, are Scotland missing that sort of hard-nosed edge up front where we're just coming up short and we just don't have those really aggressive sort of forwards that can win us those very physical battles like against South Africa?
I mean, first 5 minutes, the forwards were absolutely piling into rucks. And they were getting really, really quick ball. Mm. And I was like, this is absolutely great. This is a real step up from the Fiji and Wales game. And then post that, it just completely fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And they were completely dominated at ruck time.
I thought was it the Jesse Creel try where they went through the phases?
Yeah.
Like
when Andre Pollard made his break.
Yeah, sorry. It just seemed as if it was just too easy.
Yes.
Like, oh, they were just getting through each time, and it almost seems as if Scotland were stepping off in defence, which is a bit of a shame, really. Because I think for the rest of the time, they were pretty combative.
Yeah. I think they lost the breakdown battle. I think South Africa won 13 turnovers. Scotland only won 3.
Yeah.
So that's just a huge amount of ball to be coughing up at ruck time.
At least one of which directly led to a try.
Yeah, exactly. The Creel try, Ryan Wilson rushing up out of the line.
I'm actually going to...
You're going to cut some slack?
I'm going to cut some slack for Ryan Wilson. I actually think that it was Hamish... Because Hamish Watson, for some reason, just before Andre Pollard was past the ball, Hamish Watson was in that sort of guard position.
Yeah.
And actually turned inside and started to move behind the ruck. So when the ball got passed, he wasn't in the line. So Pollard stepped inside and there was a gap between Watson and Wilson.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
So basically, because Watson got distracted, he left pretty big dog leg.
Yeah.
Pollard stepped in and just went straight through that gap. So I actually don't think that was particularly Wilson's fault. Both tries for South Africa felt a little bit amateurish.
They were soft.
I mean, the second try in particular, I mean, somebody put it on one of the forums this week. It's, are Scotland's restarts more of a shambles than Brexit? And I'm inclined to say yes. They are horrific.
Yeah, because it wasn't only just the turnover for the second try, but there was also a couple of other ones where we just weren't able to deal with that ball.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like it was maybe something we were moving away from, but...
It felt that way, didn't it?
Brexit just comes back to bite in the ass, doesn't it?
It was the other one. I think Johnny Gray dropped one after we'd just scored a penalty and we'd been sort of collecting the ball, and then it completely shifted the game. I think it granted them another kick at goal to basically nullify it.
Yeah.
It was after one of our tries or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a real... It's so basic. But I think the restarts are secondary to the exits point.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, I think I like... this sort of, you know, cavalier way of running it out of everywhere, but sometimes you just got to put your laces through it.
Yeah.
And
especially when you've got Hogg, who at one point in the game did like a 65, 70-meter spiral.
It's ridiculous.
So nice.
Just give it to Finn and then chuck it way back behind a pod of forwards.
Yeah.
And get distance.
We can do all of the nut stuff, 22 to 22.
Yeah.
Particularly against a team like South Africa. Yeah. Well, particularly against a team like South Africa who aren't probably going to counter-attack a lot of the time as well.
Yeah.
It's not as if you're sort of kicking to that dangerous a back three.
It was really, really frustrating. It's just those little
just
things.
Quite amateur.
Those sort of add up and you lose by 6 points.
Yeah. Just going back to the point you made around the turnovers, 13-3 win. I think it was Fraser Brown in the week made like a pretty interesting point around how, you know, both teams are always trying to cheat. You're on the edges of the law. And both teams are going to try and get away with what they can.
Mm.
I know we mentioned it a bit last week around players being savvy. And actually, there was a few times in the game where South Africa got given a turnover. There was one particular one where Vermeulen, quite near the end of the game, got a turnover. And there was absolutely not a chance in hell he was holding his weight.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And actually, there was arguments that happened quite a couple of times for South Africa. But the ref was pinging it.
Yeah, the ref was a bit all over the shop. But then, as we were talking about, you've got to adapt to that.
Yeah.
and to get someone like Hamish Watson just having a go at the ball each time and seeing what you can get away with.
And I just don't think we have a pack that seems to be able to adapt to the conditions of the ref. And I think that's actually something that's come to light both for Glasgow and Scotland over the last year.
So do you think against England last year, that's what we were always going to do? We just got a ref that was really happy with how we were playing the breakdown.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. Yeah. And England, conversely, didn't.
They weren't streetwise.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So when you lose that physical battle, particularly against a team like South Africa, you're always going to be chasing your tails.
Mm.
How did you feel Laidlaw and Russell worked and sort of managed the game? I thought Russell was a shambles, FYI.
Well, there you go.
My opinion.
I find it hard to disagree with that. I think he did some nice things, but just overall, it's just one of those really inconsistent errors during performances that we know he can do.
Well, so I think South Africa had a sort of blitz defence. So they were like rushing up 13, 14. Yeah. And I think basically there's three ways to beat a blitz defence. You can either kick over, which we tried to do, but Finn just was not able to execute almost any kick throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
You can try and go really deep and go around them, which
we did a couple of times.
One being the Horn try.
Yeah.
And then the last one is you get such go forward ball at like between basically 9 and 12 that the defence is on the back foot and isn't able to rush up.
Yeah.
And we just don't have that third option.
That's true.
So Russell's always going to have to kick or try and get it as deep and wide as possible.
Which are higher risk plays.
Yeah, or option four, which is like quadruple misses over the top of people, which we had to run a couple of times.
I feel that kind of falls into the bucket of getting round.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Getting rid.
But just not as well.
No, and yeah,
I agree. We were lucky for that one, well, certainly to get the yellow card, but that wasn't picked up, and it was a clean run-in for Willie LaRue.
Yeah.
But it all sort of snowballed, so because we weren't able to get a go-forward ball between sort of the 9 and 12, and because we weren't generating quick ball by being basically savage enough at the breakdown, it therefore meant we therefore weren't making any yards in the midfield, and Laidlaw was shoveling out slow ball, which means you essentially have a defence that isn't going backwards and has ample time to set themselves up.
Yeah.
And that's when Finn then feels boxed in and starts trying to chuck these ridiculous miss pass or chip kicks, I feel.
Oh, God, it was the lateral kick passes, like the Beauden Barrett kick passes that he was trying that really tipped me over the edge.
Yeah.
Like, they're amazing when they come off, but there was the one that almost gave away another try for South Africa, got picked
and
up
by. And
that's
when we were 7-0 down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was prayer, and it was about on the 10,
it was on our 22.
In. Yeah.
It was...
But maybe we're just always going to get that with Finn, and probably in the end the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah,
in terms of good performances, but
I think Laidlaw going off for like the last, he was off for about the last 20 minutes or so, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I think that had a bit of an effect in the decision making that was being made on the field.
What do you think's the logic behind that? Pre-planned?
I don't know, but he went off essentially at the same time that Hoggy went off having rolled his ankle. So you lose two very big voices or leaders on the pitch in one go. We're at that stage, maybe 3 points down, possibly 6 points down already, chasing a game to try and win it. We get presented with that opportunity to kick to the corner or take the points to go to 23-all.
Yeah.
And we go to the corner. Now, there's lots of debate we can have about that. But I think if Grieg had been on the pitch,
They would have taken the points.
I think actually, now I'm thinking about it. Was he still on the pitch?
I think he was. No, I think he was at
was
the time.
Grieg
that was why people are most aggrieved.
Well, then.
I find the rationale for going for the points there just... I don't understand it.
Yep. You mean going for the corner?
Going for the...
Not
going for the points. You're 3 points down 20 minutes to go in like a test match.
I know.
Which should be essentially...
It's not 5 minutes to go. You've got time. It's a strange one.
I just don't think there is... I know they had a couple of mauls that made yards. Weirdly, that one in the midfield, which I haven't seen done
for
funny, a long period of time.
Yeah.
But I did not back Scotland set up to get that maul over against South Africa. I just don't think we have a strong enough pack.
If we can't do it against Wales, then why should we be able to do it against South Africa?
Yeah.
A bit of a concerning area because, I don't know, to my mind... executing a maul from like 5 meters out or whatever, 10 meters out, should be fairly easy.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see the stats, but I'd be surprised if it weren't the attack.
Tell that to Glasgow against Saracens.
Well, no, exactly. But maybe that is just one pack is better than the other. But surely the percentage of successful attempts is more than, well, attacks versus defence. That's what I think, at least.
I think there had been a couple of successful ones. Maybe they're thinking, it's a completely different proposition. They had a very successful mauling day against Fiji. As I say, a completely different proposition. But like, it's in their minds. They're positive about it. It's seen as a weapon for Scotland. Rightly or wrongly?
Yeah, I just still think in that situation, you know, you're playing against fourth best team in the world.
23-all, you get the ball back, here we go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, you sacrifice 3 points and then Finn Russell chucks a 45-metre drop goal.
Yeah.
That's true.
He did almost get it, though.
It was quite a sweet drop goal. I will give him that.
I was like, he is scaffing this like straight into the back of Skinner or something, but he fucking nailed it.
But when you're looking at like the rationality of decisions, if the rationale when you've got an easy kick for 3 points is to go for the corner, it goes completely against taking a 40 meter. Yeah.
And also, that's the closest Finn Russell's ever got with the drop goal, and it was from 45 meters away, a shot to nothing.
Yeah.
Why can't you just get a normal like 20 meter one?
I know.
I don't know. It's quite good fun though. Positives though, we touched on it before. That Pete Horn try was really something special, wasn't it? So the Hugh Jones, the double behind the back.
Yeah.
I actually preferred the second.
The second one.
Yeah.
Just a little flick of the wrist.
Because it was less sort of reactive and more like,
I've thought
about this and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
It's incredible from Pete Horn though, because Pete Horn gets smashed.
Yeah, by Creel
in the midfield.
Yeah.
Then gets up and hits that that support line.
Do you think Maitland could see him coming? Could see Jones coming?
I don't think he did.
Do you think he just chucked that back in field?
From the TV angle, it looks like Laidlaw's the only person there and he just wings it and then Jones appears. But maybe we should give him a bit more credit than that.
I know.
When you look at the other view, you're like, I think he might have meant it. That's like a hanging pass.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was the same as you. I was like, I don't know if he meant that, but I will take this.
Yeah.
So that was Hugh Jones back to his best. And before he went off, Hoggy was looking really, really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His kicking game. He's doing all the kicking now, apart from at goal. Restarts are, they're very high. The distance is not quite right, though. Some of them are too long. None of them are like right on that sort of regaining possession line.
Yeah, which I'm quite surprised by, because I think that's like fairly easy to execute, or it should be. Like, you're not under loads of pressure. I'm not saying I could do it. I mean, maybe I could do it, but
people in Prem 1 are doing it every week, man.
Yeah.
I mean, someone like Fraser Clymer Air is probably doing it. Like,
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I actually think, in general, that we're pretty poor at challenging for kicks.
So do I.
Kicks.
Yeah.
Like, even I don't think Tommy Seymour is bringing that much when they're sort of challenging for bowling.
Yeah, I mean, Seymour's really good under the high ball. Why not use him as a... Or just put him in the middle of the pitch and then put it, you know, straight up.
Yeah.
And say, you're the best under the ball.
There seems to be quite a general trend, though, of almost attacking wingers not attacking, and they almost just wait for the other person to catch and then
I wonder if there is an element of, if I get up there, I'm going to get a red card.
Yeah.
If I get this wrong, there's so much risk in competing.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that.
But I thought, you know, Hoggy looked great, and it seems that his rolled ankle was just sort of precautionary. He said he's fit for the weekend if he's wanted.
Yes.
So that is really, really good. Last talking point for me is the thing that's kind of dominated the post-match, particularly on sort of Twitter, and we have contributed to that a little bit. The South African captain, Khaleesi, on the ground, reverse headbutt on Peter Horn. Citing commissioners said, not quite a red card because he's being held down. What do you guys make of it all?
I think it should at least have been a yellow for sure.
Yeah.
And I think probably by the letter of the law, I'm sure it is a red. The only potentially saving grace is that when you are held back and your arms are held back, it is a little bit instinctive to kind of fling your head back. Saying that, something should have happened.
Yeah. I suppose it is instinctive, but then you are a professional rugby player. You should probably be like, actually, if I swing my head back here,
yes.
Maybe I should reject that instinct because.
But if you headbutt someone on the chest, is that
the Zidane?
Yeah, exactly. If you do a Zinedine Zidane, that's presumably a red card as well. It doesn't have to be in the forehead, right?
I don't really know.
I don't think it's happened before. Well, in an international match, but
maybe we should.
I don't know. I think that seems as if, and then I just think the way that it's been handled afterwards, with World Rugby saying, "Oh, it's okay because Pete Horn was holding him down,"
which Pete Horn was.
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah,
you know, I'm holding your shirt in a game doesn't mean you can turn around and hit me in the face and it be okay.
Yes,
which is effectively what they're saying.
Yeah,
it's literally so stupid.
It's usually the penalty that's given for the retaliation as well in those sort of circumstances. Yeah. If you think about people throwing punches or whatever it is, it's never the initial shirt grab.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the retaliation. I don't know. It's,
and the TMO looked at it in the match, right?
No, it was missed.
No, so it was missed.
It was missed, and that's why it was picked up by the citing commissioner.
Why doesn't Pete Horn say something to Laidlaw and then tell the ref?
Well, Hoggy was calling for it in the game, but the ref was sort of just passed for it.
Oh, really?
And Hoggy also said this about it at a press conference today.
You know, these things happen, but, you know, you do question what the TMO is doing. You know, he can have a look at it three or four times or as many times as he wants. So I think the unfortunate thing is we got a good outcome on the back of that phase of play, so we didn't necessarily look back at it. But Pete Horn's a hard bugger and just managed to get on with it, so he didn't whinge about it. So look, we've all seen it back now and everybody's got their own views, and mine is no different to anybody else's.
So I don't know, it feels to me that just in the world where we're at in rugby, where any sort of head collision, like if you look at the Danny Cipriani one for Gloucester like 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
where he's yeah. basically like really accidentally caught someone on the yeah. head and he's put his hands up and said, "I'm really, really sorry about that. That was just me getting in a bad position."
Yeah.
He's getting a straight red and a ban.
Yeah.
And now we've got a guy on the ground, like really aggressively
yeah.
moving to hit somebody. And yeah. World Rugby are sort of, I don't know, it just...
You know, you've convinced me.
It's just annoying. And I'm not that fast because I don't want it to be like, oh, we would have won if we had 14 men. Because I don't think it wasn't called on the pitch, so whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just worried that at some stage in a very important game, there's going to be an innocuous head knock and Scotland are going to be down to 14 men. I just think the head, the way that they're adjudicating like the head at the moment is so unpredictable.
Every week there's some fuck up from a referee or how the referee has felt like he's had to interpret things because the laws aren't clear, and then World Rugby come out and say something that's unclear as well. It just, I don't know, it just seems like a bit of a shambles. It's difficult, but...
But as Hogg says, Horn's a hard bugger, so...
He is a hard bugger.
You know.
But you can be a hard bugger, but you can also be a grass as well. Oh, definitely a grass. I mean, look, I want to win this match.
And we did get a positive outcome, which was the Watson try. The second time Scotland have done little line-out plays... Dunbar versus Ireland 2 years ago.
But it was Cotter that time, wasn't it? It wasn't Townsend.
Yeah.
So maybe it's nice. Different forward coach as well. So
it was really, really nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Because in the first line out of the game, I think did they throw it to Ryan Wilson at the front? He didn't jump up. He literally just like caught it.
Yeah, and
at
turned.
The front. And then so for the rest of the game, from like that try onwards, there was like one South African guy just stood at the front with his hands up, just like ready to go, just in case.
I absolutely loved it. I'm going to say it was disappointing, but it's a positive performance that we're in the mix. And there's the things that let us down are, broadly speaking, changeable. And when we have a loose head that can scrummage, we'll be able to play with 15 men on the park, not 14 and Gordy Reid.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, he did his job though. It was Nell that gave away the penalties, not Gordy.
That is the, Gordy Reid obviously was given a job, just don't give any pens in the scrum. Because that's why they didn't start Dell.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be the only reason.
Oh yeah,
and
of course.
And to be fair, Gordy Reid didn't give away any pens in the scrum. Although, when he was trying to chase Sean Maitland on that try, I felt so bad for him. Or I think it was maybe, was it LaRue or Pollard who just like ran around him for the second try?
Yeah.
It is,
as we were talking about this offer, it's kind of like the Cardiff game last year when we had Welsh and Reid starting up front. It's just like, you guys scrummage. But in open play, that is...
It's just not good enough, I don't think.
14 men or 13 men.
You compare that to the Irish props, they can do both. And they're like maybe exceptions because they're both freaks, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We need to move beyond that, I think. Anyway.
Let's leave South Africa where it was and let's focus on a quiz, Alan, shall we?
Let's do that. Right. To kick things off.
Yep.
Right, you've both got 10 seconds, 5 seconds. Okay. How many games have Scotland played since the Rugby World Cup 2015?
20. 24.
32. 32 games since the Rugby World Cup.
So,
in 2015.
Three Six Nations, so that's 15.
You got three Six Nations, like three Summer Tours,
three Autumn Internationals.
Rocking up.
I didn't have enough time. If you'd given me the 10 seconds.
Mate, you're 1-0 up. It's close.
Yeah, it's good. Well done.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Not going to complain anymore then. That's great.
Second question, and Dave, I want you to give the answer first. How many captains have Scotland had over the course of those 32 games?
Run on captains.
Run on.
So captains at the start.
At the start of the game, how many people have been captained for Scotland since the 2015 World Cup?
Five.
Hannah, you got an answer for me?
That feels high.
I've got to five as well, but
I think I got to three. I'm going to say there must be more.
Six.
Six is on the money.
Six captains. Six.
I couldn't name them, but
six people have captained.
So let's do it. Laidlaw.
This is the next part of the quiz.
Oh, shit.
That makes sense. What a good quiz.
Right, Hannah, starting with you. Who are the six people? You're going to go one for one.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Six people to have captained Scotland.
Laidlaw.
Laidlaw is correct.
Rambo.
Rambo is correct.
Barkley.
Barkley is correct.
So those are the three I had. Who else is Scott captain?
Hogg.
Well, I mean, we were going one for one.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You've got Hogg.
Hogg is correct. One against USA.
Yeah,
away.
I thought it was USA.
Loss.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just go again?
Yeah, just go.
Gilchrist?
Gilchrist is correct. Away to Canada on the summer tour this year.
One more. One more, right?
One more. So...
Can you name the game?
I can name you the
game. Will it give it away?
So in the Six Nations, it's always been Laidlaw and Barkley.
Barkley, yeah.
I think apart from the Wales game this year where it was McAnally, it's always been Laidlaw and Barkley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gilchrist and Hogg obviously did US and Canada.
Yep.
Summer Tour 2016, Japan away. Laidlaw captained the first game, but this guy captained the second away game to Japan.
Oh.
And actually, to be fair,
I can't even
this
remember.
Guy actually did captain one of the games in the Rugby World Cup.
That's a tough one.
And he's in the backs.
He's in the backs.
Pergos,
mate.
Ah, yes, he's back on song.
I think he captained in the USA game, either the US or the Japan game in the Rugby World Cup, and he captained the second game away to Japan.
Unbelievable.
One last final question. I mean, Hanny's won. How many times do you think Barkley and Laidlaw have captained over the 32?
15.
Out of the 32?
Each, yeah.
Each, but added together.
I mean, okay, added together. What are you
added thinking? Together?
I have 32.
27.
He's correct.
Wow. Well, I just took away the other ones.
Barkley 14, Laidlaw 13.
And then has everyone else just done it once?
McAnally 2, and then the rest one.
Oh, well, my maths are wrong, but I was right at the end.
McAnally was captain, because he was tour captain, and then didn't play US or Canada, but played the Argentina game.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That was a really good quiz.
That was good, mate. Well done. Right.
Although I noticed on Saturday that it appeared, maybe this was just right at the start, but McAnally led out the team, but he was vice captain, or at least at some point in the change rooms, he was at the front.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Pack leader.
Because I messaged you guys and I was like, how ridiculous is it that McAnally was like nearly get dropped from Edinburgh and is now captain?
Yeah, yeah.
But when I actually re-looked at it earlier today, he was Laidlaw was actually captain.
Interesting.
But there you go.
There you go. Right, shall we have a look ahead to the weekend? The last of Scotland's autumn internationals against Argentina. Gregor Townsend has already kind of said in the press that he is going to ring the changes for this game. So with that in mind, what do you guys think you need? What changes would you make? And what do you think Scotland needs to do to close it out with a win?
The thing is, we said at the start that we needed a good autumn international would be 3 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had actually written down as my third question. We'll get to it. Is it a terrible autumn if we lose?
Yeah.
I think it probably is.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean,
You know, you want to pick your best. Well, I suppose you could make changes from the South Africa and strengthen the team.
Yeah.
So you could bring in Dell.
Yeah. I mean, possibly. I think there's a rotation point here as well, because this is four games back to back.
Yeah. And there's some people who haven't played at all.
Yeah.
I think maybe you bring in Kinghorn starting.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd be tempted to put him in instead of Maitland and give Seymour a bit of a run. Because it looks as if Seymour's doing, Maitland's doing fine, rather.
Yeah, no.
He's looking really good.
Would you think about putting in Hastings?
Well, I mean, Hastings did play the game against Argentina away when we kind of tore them up. I think that you want to keep Laidlaw and Finn together for one more game.
That is our number one partnership, and we're going to rely on it a hell of a lot. I think we need more and more game time.
I think it will be a bit more selective changes, and I actually think it'll be more in the forwards than in the backs, where I think they've probably got more options.
Gilchrist in, maybe?
Yeah, I think
Strauss, maybe?
Yeah.
Unless, if not, then Wilson's going to have started all four matches. And also, Nell would have started all four. So,
I could see maybe they'll put Bergen, Brown, and Dell.
Still pretty good.
Bergen, Brown, Dell is a very decent... front row.
And then I think Gilchrist with Gray or Skinner.
I think they might rotate out Gray. Has Gray had a good autumn?
It's not a bad autumn.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
But that's like, him, isn't it?
That is exactly him.
It's like consistent 7, 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. But this is why we were saying I think he needs to be with someone like Gilchrist who...
A bit flasher.
Yeah, and is a bit more... Gray will just make tackles, which is a good attribute to have in your team.
He'll tackle, hit rucks, rock and maul until the cows come home. That's what he'll do.
Yeah,
but then it just again means that you have one less guy in your team who is going to be making yards off 10.
Particularly if you have a back row of someone like Wilson and even like a Richie, they're not really big ball carry. Skinner kind of.
To be fair,
to be seen.
The only game that I've ever really felt that Gray properly stepped up, maybe in the last year, was Saracens for Glasgow.
Yeah.
Where he actually was a bit of a beast.
Yeah.
And was putting in some real dominant tackles.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why that was, but I don't think he's managed to hit that level of form for Scotland this year.
Yeah. Gary Graham, can we cap?
He might.
I reckon he'll get on the bench.
I think he might get on the bench.
I think he'll get capped.
So you get booed if he comes on?
Nah.
A wee boo?
A wee boo?
I'll boo him.
Just a wee boo.
I won't really.
So what are we saying? Probably Gilchrist and then Gray or Skinner. I couldn't see them giving BBT another game.
Nah, what's the point?
And then a back row of Strauss.
Richie. Watson.
I quite like that back row.
Yeah, I really like that. That's just... a balanced back row. That's all we want.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that back row.
Is Bradbury still injured?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything.
Yeah, I reckon he is.
That's why I think you might see Gary Graham on the bench.
Yeah.
Because that would be a Bradbury-shaped hole, wouldn't it? Or a Blade Thompson-shaped hole.
I think Jamie Ritchie will definitely start.
Yeah, and I think he deserves to. He was absolutely awesome against Fiji.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great to see him getting another run.
Yeah.
I suppose there is now the consideration of pro games at the weekend as well, so some people are going to get sent back.
Yeah.
So they need to be thinking a little bit along those lines. But
you don't think they'll think a little bit strategically and keep all their non-Scottish players in the team just to make sure that they're making their domestic teams as strong as possible? So you might think, well, actually, we could drop Laidlaw and give him a rest, but then that means that Horn and Price have to play. Whereas if you keep Laidlaw on the team, one of Horn or Price can now play for Glasgow on Friday night. I'm sure that level of... I'm sure they don't think like that.
I don't know. I'd like to see Horn get on the bench this time.
Yeah.
Just like have another little shot. Because I just think...
Yeah.
Against like quite a... Maybe like a team that are a bit lumbering.
But Horn, he absolutely tore them up in the summer.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I also haven't been overly impressed with Price off the bench.
No.
No?
I think if you're going for a bench option and you want that live wire, you pick George Horn.
And it would have been Ali Price like a year and a half ago.
Exactly. But George Horn is doing that better now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Now,
whether I would start Price ahead of Horn is a different question if Laidlaw was injured. But I still think that Horn, if we're going off the bench, Horn's our should be that guy.
Yeah, agreed.
I reckon they might get the old band back together. The old game, the team that beat Argentina.
The exact same. What, Doogie Fife
Horn,
on the wing?
Horn and Hastings starting at 9 and 10 was what I was meaning.
Matt Ferguson at 8, although I don't know if Matt Ferguson will be back.
He was coming back from a dead leg, so maybe he will be. Sam Johnson getting a nod?
That could be
still
interesting.
Still not being capped?
That could be quite interesting.
Is he fit again? I thought he got an injury. That's the problem.
Oh, that's
I think
point.
He's injured.
Oh, yeah, he got injured and he hit, sent back.
There is no team in world rugby who need a win more than Argentina.
A win?
A win.
Yeah, possibly.
They did pretty crap in the rugby championship.
Australia? I suppose they beat Italy.
Australia did beat Italy. They've been beaten by France. They've been beaten by Ireland.
Yeah.
Have they played maybe one other game? I can't think off the top of my head.
Don't know.
I think maybe just those two.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I feel like they're at the end of a long season. They want a win. And this is their sort of final game before I think that's them done for about 3 months.
And I suppose that can go one of two ways.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Like, yeah. When we beat them in the summer, it seemed like they're at the end of a long season. They're like,
we've still got to
leave us alone.
I think
predictions? Scotland desperately need a win, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think if we lose to Argentina, you can contextualize the South Africa performance as that was a decent knockout against a very, very high quality team and we've learned a lot of lessons. And, you know, we've inputted it against a slightly weaker team and we've beaten them. We are a Scotland team on the up. I think if you go on to lose against Argentina, that's very poor.
Yeah, and you come out 1 out of 4, beating Fiji.
We basically didn't fire a shot against Wales, against a sort of a could-have-won game against Wales, could-have-won game against South Africa, and what we don't know about against Argentina. But that is not the progression that Scotland need to be making.
Scotland have always, you know, outside of World Cups, randomly.
Always done well.
Yeah,
always
they've had Argentina's number.
Yeah. So, I reckon you're looking at Scotland 10-15 point win.
Yeah, I'm minded to think the same. I think Argentina can't be arsed. They want to go home.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. I think Scotland will just have enough to edge it.
Yeah,
it might not be that great a match.
I've got a feeling it might not be a great match as well.
We'll see.
I think we're going to put in the young lads.
Argentina, essentially, I don't know if they're all sort of historically, I was like, oh, they're a great, like, type 5 team. But I don't actually think that's what they are anymore. And so I think actually we'll have less of an issue in the forwards.
Than against South Africa.
And against Wales.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And whilst Argentina got some pretty sexy outside backs, I don't think we'll
so
have
to. So do we.
And I think ours are sexier. So
sexier. No, just the wee.
So weird.
Okay. Well, all predicting Scotland wins. That's nice. Oh, nice and positive.
Fingers crossed.
Take that, you naysayers. Right. Finally, very quickly, pro rugby returns. Glasgow hosting Cardiff on Friday night. I think we can caveat this whole conversation with it depends on who gets released from Scotland and Wales.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the conversation we had 3 weeks ago, so let's not spend that much time on it, I don't think.
Glasgow should still win.
Glasgow should absolutely still win. Friday night, at home.
Especially after they pumped them in the Champions Cup as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Glasgow will be fine.
Glasgow will be fine.
They've also still just got... They do have a few of those players like Kebble, Gibbon...
DTH.
DTH will be with Canada at the Red Church.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, they'll probably put out Kebble.
They're going to get Lee Jones back. They're going to get Nick Grigg back.
Kebble, George Turner, Alex Allen or Darcy Ray.
Yeah, Scott Cummings.
It should be enough.
It should absolutely be enough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can't see it not being good.
Sounds very good. And then the big one, Sunday night, Edinburgh away. What a way to end your weekend. Edinburgh down at Rodney Parade playing against the Dragons. 5:30 on a Sunday evening.
How many Edinburgh away fans do you think are going to be at that game? The issue is you won't be able to fly back Sunday night.
So you have to take the Monday off work.
You'd have to take the Monday, or get the red eye from Cardiff to Edinburgh.
Have a word with those people.
Edinburgh expats living in Newport and or Gwent.
Yeah.
they are going to be the people that are going to be there.
Just like classic, obviously Premier Sports have just like staggered their games and they're like, someone's got to play at 5:30 on a Sunday night and it's going to be you.
Yeah. I mean, Edinburgh, again, caveat who they get back from Scotland, but
Newport are awful.
I agree.
Like, they are literally terrible.
If there's going to be one team that loses to Newport on that kind of Sunday night, 5:30, no internationals, it is Edinburgh Rugby.
That might be the hardest game to motivate yourself for.
Yeah, how are you getting up for that?
No, like NSI away in the Challenge Cup in Siberia.
You know what? I think there's almost something like a little bit jokey about that, that you can kind of build yourself up, whereas this is...
Who was that team that Edinburgh played in a council estate last year in Russia?
Timișoara.
No, that was Romania.
Krasniar.
Krasniar. Yeah.
That was absolutely...
I still think Edinburgh will have enough.
I think they've got to have enough.
Yeah.
Get Bill Matta shit back in.
Will he still be with Fiji?
No, I think they only had two
games. Yeah, I can't see a fixture.
So I think they're actually done.
Well, that's very good news.
Yeah.
Maybe he won't get to play, though. Maybe we'll get rested.
No,
Fiji are playing. That's rubbish.
Oh, really?
Playing against France away. So,
oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, obviously away.
I mean, I still think Edinburgh have got to win.
Yeah, surely.
They've got to win that.
Yes, no doubt.
Please.
Do the Dragons have any Wales players?
Ross Amos Moriarty. On the team.
Corey Hill,
Moriarty. I mean,
Moriarty.
Gavin Henson.
Moriarty. I'd love if Gavin Henson was playing.
Tyler Morgan.
A couple. The Dragons are
let's end it on that note. Yeah. They are rubbish.
Yeah.
And we'll come back for when Edinburgh have lost to them. And we'll have that particular on our faces. Okay, that'll do. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Write us an email, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Get yourself onto iTunes, subscribe, get yourself onto Acast, subscribe, leave us a review. If you bump into us in the street, say hello. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.